From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. The 2018 FIFA Men's World Cup begins today in Moscow with Russia taking on Saudi Arabia. The global spectacle happens every 4 years. The American team was knocked out in qualifying rounds, but the U.S. and Georgia will still be represented by a delegation of students from Kennesaw State University. Student journalists are going to be there reporting, podcasting, and live tweeting as some of the world's best athletes go toe-to-toe. We're going to talk with them and their professor from Moscow in just a couple of minutes. But first, my colleague Taylor Gant is here to tell us what to expect for the games. Good morning, Taylor.
Good morning, Virginia.
So you are one of GPB Radio's resident super sporty guys.
That is safe to say, yes.
You excited for the World Cup?
Well, it's a very bittersweet feeling right now because, as you mentioned, the U.S. national team will not be participating in this year's World Cup. But on the other side, there is so much action happening that despite everything, you're still going to get to see the best players in the world making everything happen. So I do believe that despite the U.S. not having a presence, it's still going to be a great game.
Okay, the U.S. Lost in qualifying rounds to
Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay.
In October.
This is how one sportscaster summed up that loss.
Every single one of those players,
they can take some
nightmares
of that. Yep.
For the rest of their lives, because this is an utter embarrassment with the amount of money that is in Major League Soccer and in this sport. You can't get a draw, a tie against Trinidad? Max, you don't deserve to go to the World Cup.
Utter embarrassment, nightmare for the rest of their lives. That's pretty harsh words.
Well, I think that was the general reaction from the entire sports society here in America after that loss in Trinidad, because America has put so much time and effort into trying to become, a world power to gain respect in a game that they haven't really been playing for all that long. So to lose in a qualifying game like that in a region that's, not very strong, we were by far the favorite to get through in the CONCACAF region, which makes up North America and Central America. And that loss really is kind of unprecedented for a team that really had a lot of high hopes making the World Cup every 4 years since 1990.
Okay, well, I think it's safe to say everyone's licked some of their wounds since October. We can move on. But first, some basics on the World Cup. How long did the games go on?
So it's roughly a little over a month. It begins today, in just about 2 hours, actually. Russia will start off against Saudi Arabia. And it's 32 teams broken off into 8 different groups of 4 each. They play a round-robin style, so each team in a group will play all the other teams in that group. And then from there, the top 2 teams will move on to the round of 16. Super simple. Winner stays, loser goes home. And eventually on, I believe it's July 15th, the final will be played in Moscow to determine the 2018 World Cup champion.
How do you think that the fact that the U.S. team is not going to be there is going to affect viewership here in America?
Well, I think in America proper, I think it's going to have a pretty big effect. I mean, I think that, the World Cup draws in people who may have never watched a soccer game. So the spectacle of the event is in itself something that will draw a lot of people. In Atlanta, I think the effect will be a little bit lesser because we have a very very diverse group of people here in the metro area and across the state, especially people who have rooting interests elsewhere, maybe from South America, Central America. And those teams will be well represented in the World Cup. But since there will be no representation there from a U.S. team, that's kind of an opportunity gone missing.
Well, it's not easy to watch the games anyway. Moscow's 7 hours ahead of us here on the East Coast. So what do people do? They get up at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Well, only some of the games will require such dedication to the game of soccer. Like, for instance, this morning's game will start at 11 here on the East Coast. Some of the games will start earlier, later next week. One's going to start at 6 Eastern, so that'll be 3 o'clock Pacific. So unless you have a determination to watch every minute live, you can always catch it on demand or just catch up on Twitter if it's not a game that's of incredible significance. Later on, the games will be, I think, more in a slot where people around the world will be able to watch it.
Let's go back to the last World Cup. This was in 2014 in Brazil. Final matchup, Germany against Argentina. But the biggest story here around the world was the semifinal between Brazil and Germany. Let's listen to just a clip from that game.
This is quite astonishing. It's all over now. It really is all over for Brazil. Brazil 1, Germany 7.
The home team lost. What happened?
Well, first, I'd like to apologize to all of our Brazilian listeners for bringing that back into your consciousness.
I know it's been PTSD
It's been 4 long years. But yeah, it was really, I remember watching that game live, and it was an incredibly shocking result. Brazil was hosting the World Cup that year. The build up to that game, it was the semifinal. The winner goes to the final. And there was incredible optimism that Brazil was finally going to break this streak. They hadn't won the World Cup since 2002. It had been many years. And they thought that this was the team that was going to be able to do it. And then, you know, to get embarrassed like that, 7-1, 7 straight goals by Germany. There were men, women, and children all crying in the stands that day. And it really was kind of a sight to behold. But hopefully as far as the Brazilian side is concerned, they'll erase some of that memory in the next few weeks.
Well, this is Russia's first time hosting. Big coup on the world stage. What are we watching for? Country's favorite to win? Any players to know?
Okay, so the top 3 players right now, and this is arguable, of course, you have Neymar from Brazil, you have Cristiano Ronaldo from Portugal, and you have Lionel Messi of Argentina. And each of those sides will be heavy favorites to go far in the competition and to have a chance to win. Germany, of course, is the defending champ. They have one of the best goalies in the world, Manuel Neuer, who is still in top form. So really, you know, we can compare sometimes tournaments like March Madness, where we have Cinderellas that will potentially, you know, smaller countries that might rise through the ranks and beat one of the established powers. But most of the time, the big dogs are the ones that move through this competition just because of the difference in talent when it comes to some of those established soccer powers.
So, Taylor, it's just been announced that the U.S. and Canada and Mexico are going to jointly host the World Cup in 2026. Atlanta now in the running to host one of the major matches in the North American turf. Is one more step into making Atlanta a major sports city or a major soccer city?
Well, as a constant defender of sports in Atlanta, because we get a bad rap over the years for being kind of a fair weather city and a place where sports really, you know, doesn't take precedent a lot of times. I think we've already made several huge steps. I mean, just think of this last year. We hosted the NCAA football championship. Next year comes the Super Bowl, which is going to be another massive event. And then 8 years from now, hopefully, we'll be hosting World Cup soccer. And compare that to the incredible fervor surrounding Atlanta United, which has really swept the city, 70,000 people breaking new records almost on a weekly basis. So I think it's safe to say that this edition of a World Cup game will be reaffirming. But I'd like to think that we've already made the jump from, you know, a bad sports town to a really quality sports location.
Sounds that way. That is Taylor Gant. He's my phone-a-friend guy today, explaining the World Cup and giving us a little bit of a primer. We're talking about the 2018 FIFA World Cup, which kicks off today in Moscow. And Kennesaw State University journalism professor Carolyn Carlson is there with 4 students who are going to be reporting on the World Cup. Carolyn is joining us with 2 students by Skype. Hello, Carolyn.
Hello.
Also with us, 2 of our students, Alex Keller and Virginia Wyckoff. Hello there, or should I say, Zdravstvuyte.
Привет.
Well, I have no idea what you said back because I only watched 1 YouTube video about greetings in Russian. But Carolyn, they're sending students over to cover an international sporting event. This is a first for KSU.
It certainly is. We've only been offering sports reporting for about 3 years now. It's a high-demand course. A lot of students want to become sports reporters, and we try and give them enough information and experience that they can become sports reporters when they graduate. This is a wonderful opportunity for these students to get some experience that they have no other way of getting, to be able to cover an international sporting event and write stories on deadline and in a way that real sports reporters do. So this is going to be a really good experience for them, and it'll help them become sports reporters if that's what they choose to do when they graduate.
Well, it seems like a pretty plum assignment. Alex and Virginia, were you big soccer fans before this?
I followed soccer a little bit here and there, not so much like English Premier League or anything like that, but I have been watching the MLS, especially since Atlanta United came into existence or since we were announced that we were getting a team. But I was also in attendance when the United States national team came for the Gold Cup in 2015 when they had the heartbreaking loss to Jamaica. So I think that's really when I started to really get into soccer, because then they also had that Mexico-Panama game as well at the Georgia Dome. So that whole atmosphere and everything just brought me me into soccer, and that's why I'm here.
How about you, Virginia?
I personally did not know much about soccer coming in. I had to watch a lot of YouTube videos and ask some friends to explain the different types of rules. But it's definitely something that I've enjoyed so far, and I've enjoyed being here. I would definitely consider it in the future as a career.
Well, this is pretty much a crash course that you're getting there. Did you guys come over with ideas on what and how you wanted to cover the World Cup?
I'd say when I came over, I was really just looking forward to the experience of being at a World Cup and an international soccer event, because when we were signing up for the trip, I had no idea that the U.S. was going to be part of that bid for 2026. So I thought to myself, well, I don't know if I'll ever make it back to a World Cup, so why not take a class that is what I'm studying in school and what I want to do later in life, and have it on the world stage over in Moscow. So it was kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and having the opportunity to cover, you know, Portugal, Argentina, and some of the like world-renowned teams in soccer is truly an honor, and it's something I'm very excited about.
We're going to cover almost all the teams that John mentioned earlier. We're going to have cover Germany. We're going to cover Brazil. We're going to cover Argentina. We're going to cover games by all the top teams. So we're really looking forward to the games themselves.
Virginia, I'd love to get a sense of what it feels like to you over there. Must be a lot of energy. Are there fans already all over the place buzzing around?
Oh, yeah. We went out to the Kremlin on our first full day, and we saw a lot of Brazil fans, a lot of
Peru fans
just screaming out in the streets, blowing horns, showing pride and raising flags. It was fun to watch.
So you're going to be reporting alongside people who've spent their careers covering professional soccer. How did they get you ready for this, Virginia and Alex?
You know, we've done reporting in the past for other classes and had to do interviews with people. But as far as preparation, I mean, we've taken news reporting classes, and so we have a general sense of like how to cover a game and stuff like that, but nothing of the magnitude of a World Cup game and something that everyone around the world is going to be watching. So it's definitely a bigger stage and a lot more pressure on us, but I'm definitely looking forward to it because, again, like I said, this is something I really am passionate about and want to do the rest of my life. So
what makes a great sportscaster or soccer or announcer, Taylor, to you? If you were watching a game, what do you think works?
Certainly, it helps to be English. They have by far some of the best sports announcers that I've ever heard cover the sport. Maybe because of their tradition with it, they can speak from a wealth of history with the game. You know, a lot of times in soccer, there's a lot of moments where you can't just do the play-by-play. You have to talk about maybe what's going on, especially in a World Cup or an Olympic event. You want to talk about the context of what's going on in the world around the game and between the two teams behind the scenes. Anything that can fit into the broadcast makes it much better to view and to enjoy.
Is that part of your study there, learning a little bit about the context, the social history, what's going on in the country and the countries of origins who are playing the games?
Before we left, I had assigned each student countries, teams to do research on. And so they have been researching the teams, how they got to the cup and who they had to defeat to get there, who the major players are on the team. I'm not expecting them to be at a professional level as far as their knowledge of the teams and the players and the history, but I am expecting them to know who the stars are and that sort of thing, and also how they got to the cup.
Now, you will be covering matchups between Mexico and Germany and Brazil, Costa Rica. No Latin American team has ever won a World Cup held in Europe. So based on your research, let's ask you, Alex or Virginia, what do you think you're going to see?
Well, from my perspective and just looking at the two teams, of the teams that we're covering and the two that I think will probably have the best chance, Argentina would probably be your biggest chance coming from Latin America, coming off, again, the runner-up in the previous World Cup and still having Lionel Messi as their star player. I expect them to come in with a little bit of vengeance and a little more energy to get back at what happened to them in the last cup. And on the other side, I mean, away from Latin America, I think ultimately my pick to win the cup would be Portugal. And you know, a lot of people are going to say that's a bold pick, but coming off their championship win, their first big championship win at the UEFA 2016 tournament, I look to see Ronaldo help keep that momentum going. But it'll be close. I'd like to see Argentina make it far and potentially win it, especially for Messi. He's one of my favorite players of all time and one of the greatest of all time. So to see him get a cup before he calls it quits would definitely be a monumental moment in soccer.
Okay, Taylor Gant is nodding emphatically here in the studio.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think either one of those players is of the ones I mentioned before, Neymar, Ronaldo, or Messi, any of them getting this massive achievement in their career really solidify them as one of the greatest of all time, if they're not already.
Well, that's so exciting. Covering the World Cup. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
And Carolyn, I believe that you're retiring at the end of the summer. So thank you for your swan song with this trip to the World Cup with these students this year. That's really terrific.
It's a great thing to do. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Carolyn Carlson, she's Kennesaw State University journalism professor. She and her students, Alex Keller and Virginia Wyckoff, are in Moscow reporting on the 2018 FIFA Men's World Cup. And we will put a link to more coverage from that cup and those students at gpbnews.org. Taylor Gant, my resident sports expert here in the GPB newsroom, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Just ahead, Soul Cooking with chef and author Todd Richards. This is On Second Thought.
I was raised in the country, that's a natural fact. Food on the table from the garden out back. Everyone working to make the land their own. Red clay cracking where the silver queen grows. Running with your cousins from yard to yard. Living was easy, but the playing was hard. Didn't have much, nothing comes for free. All you needed was your family. I am a country girl. I've been around the world.